I've been looking at this whole event of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection through the eyes of soldiers, and this morning we'll look at them a little bit as well. But we're going to fast forward past that first Easter morning for just a minute. And like those who were baptized this morning, who were testifying of their faith, their relationship with Jesus Christ, and the joy because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we find the apostles doing the very same thing. In fact, they were declaring Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And because Jesus had risen from the dead, they were declaring, can you believe this? That there was forgiveness for sin. That the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ brings forgiveness. How dare they? Well, as these men were boldly declaring this, some of the religious, actually a lot of the religious leaders were not too thrilled with this. They took them in, they cast them in prison, and they said, don't talk about Jesus. They're in prison. Well, guess what? God wants his people to share about Christ. So he sends an angel, an angel lets them out of prison, they go back and they start sharing about Jesus again. Huh! And the religious leaders are puzzled. They bring them in and say, how dare you? We said not to preach Jesus. And they said, we have to. In fact, we will obey God rather than you on this matter. Well, that didn't make them very happy. And in Acts 5, you can read about their disdain towards them. But there was one of the religious leaders, and oh my goodness, I did not format that, did I? You're going to have to turn in your Bibles. I can only imagine what some of the other passages look like. They're probably really small, aren't they? Oh boy. All right. So, this is called a Bible, okay? If you don't have one, you might have it on your phone. If not, there is one in the seat front in front of you, most likely. I would encourage you to turn to the New Testament book of Acts, where we read some fascinating words by one of those religious leaders. His name is Gamaliel. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Gamaliel says some intriguing things concerning the message of these apostles. Beginning in verse 35, we read this. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men joined up with him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. Verse 37. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. Are you seeing a pattern here? They rise up, they die, they scatter. Rise up, they die, they scatter. Verse 38. So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action is of men, it will be overthrown. But, mark these words, but if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God. Hmm. those that went before dispersed. You know why? Because the one that they followed died. He's dead, will disperse. Another comes, rises up, follow, he's dead, we disperse. Jesus rises up. There is a following after Jesus. And guess what? He dies. But, as we sang, Sunday's coming. And that made a difference. In your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Very last chapter, we're going to be in chapter 28. Oh, man. This is what happens when you have three services and you think you did something and you didn't. I apologize. If you can read that, you have really good vision. That's great. But in chapter 28, we read in the first 10 verses, and guess what? If you were at the cemetery, you're like, didn't we just read these? Yes. But look around, not everybody was there. So we're going to read them again. It says, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. I love that. Come, see the place where he was laying. Go quickly and tell the disciples that he has been risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. I love that. We're looking at several things this morning as we contrast different ones' response to the resurrection. But as we come and we see this narrative that occurs on Sunday morning, there is a powerful promise that has been kept. Jesus gave his word and he kept his promise. I am so glad that we serve a God who keeps his word, aren't you? Yeah, because he says he's coming back, and I am excited about that. But Jesus had also said that he was going to raise from the dead. Did you notice that the message of the angel, it says, he is not here, he's risen, and then the words after it, just as he said? You're like, wait a minute, Jesus actually told them that he was going to come back to life? Actually, numerous times. I mean, this is kind of interesting. I just looked it up and I'm like, holy cow. Do you realize in Matthew 16:21 that Jesus said he would be killed and raised on the third day? Explicitly. And then you jump over to Mark 8:31 and 9:31. He says, Jesus tells them that he's going to be rejected by the religious leaders, that they will kill him and he will be raised on the third day. You think they'd get it? I mean, that's twice he told, no, three times. Then in Luke 9:22, he says, I am going to suffer. He says, I will suffer and I will die, but I will resurrect after 3 days. You go and look in Luke chapter 18, verse 31 through 33, and Jesus lays out the whole plan of his suffering and death. You're like, you're kidding me. They knew all these details? Yes. He lays out his plan, the plan for it, the betrayal. He even talks about being spit upon, rejected, and then dying and raising again. How many days?
3 days.
You're starting to get it. Yeah, they didn't. I mean, he said, I'll rise again 3 days later. John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. He was talking and says, destroy this temple. And he points to himself. Destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in
3 days.
See, you're getting it. I mean, by this time you think they would too. Go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. He says, we're going to go to Jerusalem. They're like, oh, all right. Don't they want to kill you? Yes, they're going to kill me. I'm going to die. And on the third day, I will rise again. You're like, surely that's all. No, no. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. I will lay my life down, and I will raise it up again. You're like, that's got to be it, Pastor Jed. Nope, two more times. In Matthew 26 and Mark 14, he goes, after I am raised. So now he's saying, you guys should know I'm going to raise from the dead, okay? Now Jesus is giving them a plan in these passages and saying, after I'm raised from the dead on the third day, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. So there's even a plan after he rises from the dead. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And I think often we come to the message of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And like we had testified this morning, there's an intellectual understanding, okay, he said it, this is it, but they didn't believe. There was a disconnect there somewhere. I think it's important for us to note that they didn't get it. And we see the outcome of not understanding it. Because if they did, do you know who would have been at the tomb on Sunday morning? Every single one of his apostles. Every single follower that had ever heard Jesus teach on this, they would have all been sitting there, I imagine, with banners and, you know, blowhorns and, I mean, they would have been ready to celebrate. Eager with expectation. We don't see that though, do we? Instead, they're hiding. They're grieving. And I understand grieving the cross. Later, these men would grieve because they would understand the cross was there because of their sin. But they're grieving. Hope. Hope was lost. They were hopeless. They were aimless. They didn't know what to do, where to go, who to follow. It's no wonder that those other men, that their followers disperse. What do you do when the one that you're following dies? The women, they were going there. You're like, what about the women? Well, they weren't going there to celebrate a resurrection. It says that they had the oils and herbs and all of that to care for a body. A body that had been laid in a tomb. They all heard the promises, yet they failed to hold on to the power of those promises. How many promises in God's word have you heard? How many promises have you read? Because when we come to the promise of the resurrection, it holds power to bring hope. We don't have hope without the resurrection. It holds power to overcome. Do you know why you and I have the ability to overcome? Because Jesus did. It holds the power to remove fear, because death had been conquered. Sin had been atoned for. And it holds power. But that third morning, the tomb was empty. The one they followed was no longer dead. Amen. Yeah, right? Isn't that exciting? And as the resurrection of Jesus Christ occurs, power is given to his church like never before. I love it. There were some, though, that didn't miss what Jesus said. Ironically, the ones that noticed it were not his followers. And when they heard Jesus say those kind of things, they were concerned. I find that interesting. If you're still in Matthew, I encourage you just to go backwards in the verses a little bit into chapter 27. Ooh, you can almost read that right there. All right. Look what it says in chapter 27, verses 62 through 66. It says, now on the next day, okay, Jesus has died on the cross. He's been laid in the tomb. The next day would have been Saturday. The next day after the preparation, the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate. There's a concern with them, so much so that they call a meeting with the governor. Chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I am to rise again. Ooh. Good for them remembering that. What would have happened if the disciples had? Therefore, give us orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen.
He has risen.
Yes, he has. But they may say that. I mean, can you imagine if they said that? He has risen from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate, this is not going to be good if he says this, if this happens, if they do this. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. So go and make it as secure as you know how. And they went and made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. Well, that ought to work. Prevailing over persistent falsehood. Do you know that the truth will always prevail? I love that when we see this, we see that there is a guard placed there because they're concerned there may be a fake resurrection. And my goodness, if they go and hold on to that story, it's going to be awful. My goodness, people actually might believe that he was the Son of God. They might actually believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Oh my goodness! That would be awful. That would just cause an insurrection. It would be bad. I mean, my goodness. So let's make sure we prevent those guys who were so scared they ran off. Those guys who are helpless and hopeless and powerless. Let's make sure we guard against them. That's a good idea. The guard. It's speculated if it was the guard of the priest or the guard of the Romans. And truthfully, with their concern later that we'll see here, I believe that it was a Roman guard. If that's the case, these were trained military soldiers placed at the tomb, multiples of them. Some speculate that these would have been the elite soldiers placed at the guard the tomb, and the seal placed over the stone. They took it serious. Isn't it great that God says, you know what, I'm going to have a witness to this. They were there to prevent an uprising. Because if people truly believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that could be dangerous. I saw a meme this week. I wish I had taken a picture of it, but it showed up multiple pictures of useless things like a gate on a sidewalk with no fence. It just was there. A patio that didn't have a door or even a window. And then it showed a picture of the guard standing at the tomb. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Useless things. I mean, it wasn't going to hold them there. I mean, goodness. And we see that when the angel comes, these elite guards faint. They become like dead men. I love that we shared this at the cemetery, that these guards who were alive became like dead men, and the one man who was dead became alive. I love that picture there. And when Jesus Christ comes to life, there is a message, go and tell people what has happened. And the women run off and they share, and oh, the message of Jesus Christ that's been shared. But you know what? There was another group that ran off and shared. Have you ever wondered what happened to those guards that just kind of passed out when they saw that angel? Those big, tough guys? Well, guess what? Scripture records it for us. So go back to chapter 28 and look at verse 11. Hey, you can read that too. Awesome. It's getting better. All right. Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. They shared the whole thing. This is what happened. My goodness, an angel came down, moved the stone. It was freaky. We fainted. Okay. They shared everything. It was terrifying, and the tomb is empty. All that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. And said, you are to say. Interesting, they already shared with them. It's not like they didn't know what happened. But they're instructed, you are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, why would it come to the governor's ears? Because these were Roman soldiers. That's kind of their top boss right there in the area. But if it should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over, aka lots more money, and keep you out of trouble. And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. I just think it's funny. To be presented with the truth. To have all the evidence laid out in front of you. And you still reject it. Actually, it's not funny at all, is it? It's scary. To know the truth and reject it. And it still happens today. In fear, these soldiers run to the chief priests. They're the ones who assigned them the task. What do we do? It's interesting, they actually had to develop a plan because something had happened. And if that plan fails, we even have a backup plan. I find it interesting how difficult it is to make a lie stick. Paid good money, and guess what? The story spreads. You pay enough money, and guess what? People will actually say what you want them to say. We have examples of this throughout history. People will do a lot of things for money. I want you to consider a few things, though. First of all, this was a Roman guard, elite soldiers. And we know from historical documents that there was severe penalty if you should ever fall asleep on guard. The penalty could even be death. They took it serious. And here they're saying, we want you to say you fell asleep. That's the best they could come up with. And then we want you to say that while you were sleeping, you somehow noticed who came and took the body. Brilliant plan. Masterful. And by the way, the ones that took the body, we know they have a reputation for their amazing swordsmanship. Ish. Okay, they couldn't even take off a head. But, okay, we know they were sissies. Okay, we know that the one guy backed down from a little girl, terrified. But they got the best of you. Because you were asleep. Can you imagine that story? How does that stick? You know, bribery is often used when you're trying to cover something up. You don't need to bribe for the truth. The story goes out, and people wanted to believe it. The lie is still out there today. I find it ironic that under pressure, maybe out of guilt of what they said or did, or maybe because they just wanted the truth out there. We know about that conversation. Who shared? Was it one of the soldiers? Was it one of the priests? Was it one of the Pharisees? I mean, I know one Pharisee that may have been there that kind of, you know, really got zealous for Jesus. His name's Paul. He was Saul at this time. But we know about it. Lies over time tend to unravel, don't they? And in order to keep a lie going, you have to keep adding to it. You have to keep trying to explain and explain things away. Lies unravel. I mean, goodness, just look at Watergate in our own nation. When the lid was opened there, those guys started talking real quick. My goodness, they wanted to make a deal. They wanted to save their own hides. Whatever the case was, they couldn't keep a lie. But in the contrasting light of these tough, trained military men, highly educated religious leaders, we see some fishermen, a tax collector, and others who had followed Jesus Christ, and something happens as they begin to persevere through persecution to hold to the truth. Think about it. As we read in Acts, those apostles were out there sharing. Those apostles would share even after getting beaten, over and over again. You couldn't stop them. Every single one of them would die a martyr's death. Some would be hung and crucified upside down. Others fed to the beast. Others burned at the stake. Others beheaded. What happened to Peter, who couldn't stand before a little girl, now bold for Christ. These men who couldn't cause an insurrection, I mean, even the night of Jesus' betrayal, they only had two swords with them. Says Jesus says, that's enough. That's all you need. Peter's going to swing it and it's going to be over. But these individuals who had given up, they didn't have a plan. The one they followed had just died. They didn't know where they were going. They were too scared to even go to the tomb Sunday morning. What happened? The women who went, they come back, they share with the disciples, and the disciples even then were hesitant to believe. Peter and John had to run to the tomb just to make sure the ladies were telling the truth. Thomas, the other disciples say, we've seen him, he's alive. He's like, I doubt it. I can't get my mind around that. Thomas, weren't you listening? So what changed? What impacted these men so greatly that they would become the men that we see in Acts chapter 5? Bold leaders in the church, boldly declaring the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, their Lord. Well, plain and simple, Jesus was alive. Jesus was risen. And because he was alive, there was someone to follow. Because he was alive, there was a purpose, there was a cause, and there was truth to be told. And they went forth with excitement. I love that as you go through Acts, Acts begins with Jesus telling these men to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Matthew sums up this the Great Commission. Look at Matthew 28. Yeah, we're going through the whole chapter this morning. It's great. Verse 16, and it says, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee. They followed the plan. They're like, oh yeah, Jesus did say that, didn't he? There's more to do. They go to Galilee, and it says, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him. When they saw him, he was resurrected. They worshiped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them. They saw him, they heard him. And Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's still with his church today, folks. And because he had resurrected, they took that gospel. They started there in Jerusalem, and oh, what a revival there was there. And they went throughout. Look at Acts. I'm going to read these briefly. Acts 6, 7, it says this, the word of God kept spreading. By the way, I'm going to stop there. These verses aren't up there, so you can don't worry about it. The word of God kept spreading. How does it spread? Church. We have to share it. We have to declare it. But it said the word of God kept spreading and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Maybe that's how they found out about this conversation with the soldiers. But then you go to Acts 9:31, it says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continues to increase. Do you know why the church was increasing? Because they were sharing the message of Jesus Christ. They were sharing Christ resurrected. You go over to Acts 12:24, but the word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. Acts 16:5, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. Church, if we were really doing our job, we should be seeing people getting baptized every single week. Sharing the hope and the power of the resurrection. And the truth continued to spread with power. Paul would later encourage and challenge the Corinthian church, and he would speak to the power that you and I, the church, has because of the resurrection. I love what he says in Corinthians. It says in chapter 15, verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." He gives a beautiful argument, but you jump down to verse 16 and it says, "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless." Let me read that again. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But it's not worthless. We're not to be pitied. Paul writes, But now Christ has been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who are asleep. Jesus Christ has raised from the dead, and because of that, you and I have a purpose. Our life is not worthless. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." That truth is still alive today. Gamaliel had no idea when he said those words. He said, "The movement, if it is of men, will fail." But guess what? The movement was not of men. They never dreamt what Jesus Christ was going to do. They could have heard and listened, but they never dreamt. Even in the midst of persecution, the church has continued to grow to this very day. Because it's truth, and there is power in the truth of the resurrection. The message of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection went forth. And like Gamaliel said, if it's of God, well, guess what? You won't stop it. In fact, watch out. You may find yourself opposing God. Church, it will not, it cannot be overthrown. Because it's not of men, it is of God Himself, the very Son of God. The world will oppose this message. The world always opposes truth. It will spread its lies. It will distort it. It will fight it to the very end, but it is of no use. You know why? Because Jesus Christ has overcome. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Jesus Christ overcame sin, and Jesus Christ overcame death. Church, He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
And say it with a smile, because that brings hope. That brings power to you and me to live for Him. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, we celebrate